Sometimes revelation comes through a struggle that we have. The truth comes often out of trials and tribulations. And yet, there is always good news at the end, because if we give everything we have and everything we are, it's always enough in God's hands to do what He wants done. That is the story of Christmas. There is an old hymn that asks the most important question in the history of mankind, and I have used part of that as the title of the sermon today: Who is He in Yonder Stall? You see, the question asked is the most important question you'll ever answer. If you fail to answer the question correctly, you're going to miss the Messiah. And you're going to miss the redemptive story that His entire life, death, burial, and resurrection tells. You can be in error or mistaken about many things and still go to heaven. Praise God for that. But of this one fact, you must be very sure. Jesus, who is He? Who is this babe that was born to die? Who is this child laying in a manger? He is God become man. Let me tell you who He is not. He is not a man who became God. Under no circumstances must you ever believe, which is common to teaching across Christian churches and all kinds of other faiths, that Jesus was able by His works of obedience to ascend to an equality with God. If that were true, then there were no need for the virgin birth. There were no need for Christ to go to the cross, because He was a man. And He could no more than save you than any other man. Jesus is the God-man, God who became man to suffer everything that we suffer, to know us from the inside out. Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And He was. Matthew lays out the facts and, well, all the warts of Jesus' human family tree. We talked about that last Sunday. We talked about the fact that He was descendant from prostitutes and Gentiles and pagans and all kinds of people, that he seemed to have been asking the world to look deeper into Him than just who His family tree was. Matthew writes it because he wants to assure his readers that Jesus does come from the kingly line of David. From Abraham all through David, He had that bloodline. It was a bloodline that they expected the Messiah to have. And now, in verses 18 through 25, he lays out the divine origin of the Savior. So before we go into the Holy Word of God, let us pray that He will guide us through these words. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we want people to know who You really are and who Your child Jesus truly is. And so, Father, I ask You to cast out my words, all my presuppositions, all the things that I've been taught all my life, all the things that might interfere in any way with people beginning to know You on a personal way, and to know who You really are, and how it broke Your heart, as Catherine's song said, to send You into this world, Jesus. And so, Father, we ask that You would, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, illuminate our eyes and ears and minds, open our hearts, that we may receive the truth that You have bestowed upon us through Your written holy word. And, Father, we just ask that You would speak to our hearts. You cast out my words, never to be remembered again. But speak to us, Father, about how important this is to You, that we should know who Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us look now at these verses, starting with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. You know, Matthew writes this as though everybody already understood this. There was a time in America where to read this, everybody would have said, yeah, that's right. I don't need to go any further than that. That's all I need to know. Because it was assumed that everybody who was going to read this good news written by Matthew would understand these facts. He says, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled what which was spoken by the Lord before the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth their firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. The divine birth of Jesus is revealed in his, reveals his divinity. Matthew and his partner, Luke, I say his partner because anytime God hitches both of us to the same wagon, we better be partners. Problem with the church today is that it's walking in one way and pulling in one way, and another portion of the church is pulling in another way. We're not pulling together. But Luke is pulling together when he writes his account in the first and second chapter. He's pulling together surrounding the birth of our Lord. And we find another account of these events surrounding Jesus' birth in Luke. Both of these reports are fulfilling prophecy and festivals to explain who is he in yonder stall. So if you will look with me now in Luke, the first chapter, verses 5 through 8. And in there was in these days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. And so it was, while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now I want to stop right there. Many people will tell you this season that we don't know when Christ was born. Yes, we do. It's right here in the Scripture. If you only look for it. You see, we know a lot about Jewish history. They've been very good about keeping records. And we know that Zacharias was of the division of Abijah. And we know in 4 BC when he was assigned to the temple. You see, they had various groups of priests, and they were rotated in their assignments in the temple. And we know that it was in the latter part of September of the year 4 BC when Zacharias was in the temple. We know that from Jewish records. Now, it's very important that God was touching this man and guiding everything that happened. And he cast lots. And a lot fell on him. It was quite often the only time that a priest would ever have the privilege and the honor, the incredible distinction of being able to go into the Holy of Holies and perform this incredible rite to burn incense. It was an offering, a sweet-smelling offering to go into the nostrils of God. Only once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And this man, we know from the Scriptures, was well advanced in years. He had never done it before, and the lot fell on him. And so, he went into this place. Now, let's read the Scripture. Remember, it was the latter part of September. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. What would happen at the temple is people would come, they knew the hour when the offering would be made to God, and the priest would be interceding for them. And he had 12 benedictions that he must say while he was in the presence of God. It's very interesting. You see, I would have had a rope tied to me. You would have had a rope tied to you. If the honor was to go inside the Holy of Holies and do this, they tied a rope around the priest so that if he died in the presence of God, if God struck him because he was impure, if for any reason this man fainted or fell, they could pull him out by the rope so that they would not do anything that would desanctify, pollute, corrupt the holiest place. So he went in and he said 12 benedictions. It's important that you know that because the last benediction he said was this. We know this too from Jewish history. Said, how great thou art, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth the bread from the ground and who creates the fruit of the vine. Do not forget to send the one who will announce the Messiah. That's the last prayer he would have said. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. What prayer? The last prayer he prayed. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now that had to fly in the face of everything Zacharias knew. Because fathers normally name their sons after themselves. Bar whatever. Bar means of. Barabbas, the son of Abbas, or man. I believe that when Jesus was presented there upon the steps of the place of power, that he was offered to the people in this way, that they said, who do you want? Do you want Barabbas, son of man, or do you want Bar Jehovah, the Son of God? And the people said, give us Barabbas. It's what people are saying today. It's what we've always said. Give us a man. It's what God's people said when God was ruling them. They said, no, 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 we want an earthly king. Give us Barabbas. Give us Son of Man. We can't deal with Son of God. At any case, he was told that he was going to not name his child Zacharias, but he was going to name, or Bar-Zacharias, he was going to name his son, his child John. And the angel goes on, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn away many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him, that is the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Prepared for the Lord, Anani. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. I want you to remember that. Because, husbands, if you say things like this, you're going to have problems. Do not say your wife is old or well advanced in years. Because then the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. And behold, you will be mute and will not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. I bet they were out there grabbing that rope. It can't take that long, Pastor, to preach that message. It is time to go home. How long does it take to light some incense and say 12 benedictions? Why is he still in there? Now, why were they waiting? They waited because when the priest came out, it was the custom that he would bless them. You know, after I preached and I give you a blessing. Well, they anticipated that blessing and they were waiting for it and they were tired of waiting. Just like some of you when I'm preaching. And they all said, aha, there's not a liar in the bunch. That's good. And so it says that these things are going to take place and that they're going to be fulfilled. And he came out, it says in verse 22, and he could not speak, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed into his own house. Now, there was a 10-day period, end of September, 10-day period, in which after he left his royal priesthood official duties, he could not be with his wife because he had to cleanse himself. So 10 days have passed. We're now into early October. And now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Let me explain to you that in Hebrew, names have a meaning. And Zacharias and Elizabeth, when you put those two Hebrew names together, they mean the Lord remembers his promise. And she conceived. She conceived in October. Write that down. That's important. She conceived in October. Now, after she conceived, she said, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. It was a reproach not to have a child. It was as though you had not God's favor. And she rejoiced. Now, in the 6 month, October, November, December, January, February, March, and just so happened in that year, March was the Passover time. That in March, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, in Hebrew, Joshua. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and his Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? She is a virgin. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and there is now the 6 month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. It's interesting she said that. That's what every young girl said at Passover every year, hoping that she would be the mother of the Messiah. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. That is what Mary says. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, And there entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And as it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. Here we go. Now we're at Passover, full at Passover. Mary goes to be with her relatives. And every good Jewish person to this day did the same thing they did there at Passover. They would lay out the Seder meal and they would leave one plate open for Elijah. And they would have the little children run and see if Elijah had come, because they were going to welcome Elijah, the one who was going to foretell the Messiah. They were willing to do that. They're willing to do it today. Even when we do a Seder here, we always leave a plate open. We always have a small child that will run out and look and see if Elijah has come. Well, Elijah came that Passover. He was leaping for joy in his mother's womb. Leaping for joy, announcing the arrival of the Messiah. From that point on, he would be taking his place at the table to announce that the Messiah had indeed come. And it happened when Elizabeth heard her greeting that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The word here, Lord, is Anani. Do not be confused. This word in the original is Anani. It could be read, "Why is the mother of my God come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is he, she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, and he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. But behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." All generations will call her blessed, because she had been chosen by God to be the mother, the earthly mother, of the Son of God. What happens then? Well, what happens then is something that is extraordinary, because Luke picks it up in chapter 2. "Now it came in those days that there was a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria." So we have a historical evidence that this registration took place. What time of the year did it take place? Well, we'll soon find out. "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his wife Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered." All right. After Jesus' conception in March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, they were traveling to Bethlehem. Now this is where God, who loves us so much, that he has given us not only the prophecies, but the festivals, which are prophecies in and of themselves, to show us the fulfillment, so that no one will have an excuse, so that we can rejoice in the fullness of what he showed us. They go up at that time of the year. Why would you hold a tax at the time of the year when you were not in the middle of taking in your harvest? Well, because you wanted to make sure you could tax them on every last grain. And why would you have it at the time of year when the planting was over? Well, so that you can assure yourself of taxes for the next year. That's the winter time of the year. Even in Israel, in the winter time, it sometimes snows on the mountains in Jerusalem. And so they went at that time. Well, why is that important? Well, because they arrived there at the Festival of Huts. And I can show you in the Scripture how that is true. The Festival of Huts is still celebrated by Orthodox Jews. It is a time when good Jews, Orthodox Jews, Jews who actually do what they're supposed to do, leave the comfort of their homes and go out into a creche-looking dwelling which reminds them of the temporary buildings that they lived in as they walked in the wilderness when God was their provider before they went into the promised land. It is where good Jews remember the benefits of God, even in those times of trial. And so they were in a creche. What does the Bible say? It says there was no room for them at the inn. And so they had to go to a manger. That's the same Hebrew word for hut, because there was no room for them at the inn. Now, I've heard many people, I had a seminary professor who said, well, it couldn't be at Christmas because shepherds were not out in the fields at Christmas. And he's right, they weren't, except for those shepherds who looked after the paschal lambs. Right outside, 4 miles at Bethlehem, outside of Jerusalem, the lambs that were made whole and tried to keep spotless were not put in pens where they could be bruised or where the things other animals could knock against them, but they stayed out in the range, in the open range, if you like, in order to find the perfect lamb, because only a perfect lamb could be sacrificed at the time of Passover. And so there were shepherds. Now, shepherds were people that nobody trusted. I mean, the last thing a mother would want is their child to grow up to be a shepherd. You just wouldn't want that because they were unclean. They couldn't go into the house of God. They could never enter in. Not only could they not enter into the men's court, they couldn't even enter into the Gentiles' courts. They were unclean because they worked with animals. Irony is that they were necessary for the continuation of the temple sacrifices, but they weren't allowed into the temple where they worked so hard to keep these paschal lambs pure and without blemish. And here the angel appears to such as these in verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Adonai. That's who's in that manger, folks. The Adonai. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. This is another angel appearing. I have to understand that there's been a 400-year period where God said nothing to the people. From Malachi to Matthew is 400 years. We had nothing, and suddenly angels are appearing everywhere in this story. Suddenly God is opening up and telling us things we never knew. Suddenly these old things that we did, that the festivals that we kept, are now coming to fruition. You see, Huts, the next festival that comes right on the heels of Huts, is Hanukkah, the festival of lights, which celebrates a miracle. You may remember that there was a time when the holiest of holies there at the temple was absolutely corrupted by this man who came in and slaughtered a pig there, and he took everything, and it was horrible, and they had to get it back, and they had to get it clean, and they only had a certain amount of time to do it, and they had to clean it back to that holiness that God would accept so that he would be resident there on top of the holy place, on top of the mercy seat, and dwell there again. They were desperate for it, but they only had enough oil for a few hours. But the miracle of Hanukkah was, like the miracles I told you about earlier that happened to us, is that that little tiny bit of oil burned for day after day after day so that they were able to complete in the light their job. And so that's the Festival of Lights. And to commemorate it, it's very important that you understand this, to commemorate it, the women in the women's court would take great vats of oil, and they would put a wick in it, and they would hoist it all the way to the top of the columns, and it would be lit, and you could see the light as far away as Egypt. The light. Now listen to the angels. And this will be a sign to you that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Why is swaddling cloths a sign? I've been told by professors for years that, oh, well, every Mideastern child was wrapped up in a swaddling cloth. But it's just not true. It wouldn't be a sign if you saw something normal. You know what swaddling cloths are? They're the wick that they put into that vat of oil. They are the undergarments of the priest. And so our high priest was laid in a feeding trough that we might partake of him. The light of the world was seen there in the little wick that he was, ready to come into the world and shatter the darkness that we lived in. Amazing. You will find him in a manger. And so it was that when the angels had gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known this saying which was told them concerning this child. What did they tell them? They told everybody they knew that the angels had come and said, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, Christ, the Anonai. But when he was born, you need to understand that in the Middle East, when you're born, you're 1 year old. That's the way they calculate age. You're one the day of your birth. And so they saw that this child was born, and they ran and they told everyone they knew. They announced that he had come, the Lord, the Anointed One, the name of the Lord. And the shepherds returned glorifying God, praising God. Now, then we jump back and pick up the story in Matthew once again, because something else happened right away. You know, some people have said, well, you know, it takes a long time for the Magi to travel all the way from probably Persia, certainly Persia, and in Kuwait, where they probably were. It takes a long time for them to travel to Israel, and it probably took several, you know, a year or two or whatever. Let me just debunk that real quick here, because we find out in chapter 2 of Matthew what actually happened. I will find it. Trust me. Okay. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now, a lot of people speculate on what kind of a star it was in the heavens, what alignment of planets, what happened 4 BC. Well, let me tell you that, for me, I believe it was the Shekinah glory of God. I can't prove that, but I have indications from the Scripture. Because, you see, Herod didn't see it. It was just 4 miles away, shining down on Bethlehem. Herod didn't see it. None of his wise men saw it. None of the people there saw it, except these wise men, the Magi. Magi, by the way, were the priest of their world. You know that in the Persian world, you could not actually be a king, a ruler, unless you were anointed by the Magi. Oh, you could take control, but you would never have the true authorization to rule unless they came and anointed you. The Magi traveled from afar, possibly having heard the story of Christ coming from Daniel, who was cast into the lion's den back in Persia when he was in Babylon. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. But he says that they ask, where is he? Because we've seen a star in the east and we've come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled when Herod was troubled. That's really what this says. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes, the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. And Herod, in verse 7, secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. Now, he wanted to know when they first saw the star. Why? Because he wanted to kill all the children under 2. That would mean under 1 for those of us who count a different way. So they had come quickly from wherever they came from to be there. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And they saw it, and Herod did not. And Herod's spies didn't see it. Only with those who had eyes to see could see it. And they came into the house, and they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures, and they presented gifts to him, gold, which was given to the ruler, the king, frankincense, which was given because of his divinity, and myrrh, which was always used to preserve the human body at burial. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek your young child to destroy him." And we know what Herod did. Herod killed him. All the children in Bethlehem that were a year and less old. So, who is he who is in yonder stall? John 20:28, Thomas, the doubter, looks into the hands of our Lord and says, "My Lord and my God." Peter knew. In 2 Peter 1:1, it says, "To those who have obtained faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Paul knew, Titus 2:13, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." John knew, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made that was not made by Him." The question is, who do you say that the one in yonder stall is? It is something that only God can show you. I can't show you. Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And you remember that Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." It is still the Holy Spirit of God who alone can illuminate our hearts and draw us to Himself. It is not the witticisms of men or the learning of men or knowing about the festivals and how they are fulfilled in Christ or knowing anything like that. It's knowing Him personally, the child who came to die on a cross. It is knowing Him that makes all the difference. Who do you say that He is that dwells in yonder stall? At whose feet the shepherds fall? Who is He? Who is He? For each of us, our time spent in search of the Christ child is rewarded by the promise that Jesus said, "Whoever seeks shall find." We know that it is His will that none should perish and all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know these things. And today, as we celebrate the light that's coming into the world, is the greatest time that we could accept that light coming into our own lives. And so, we offer an invitation to the stall, to the manger, to the incarnation. Jesus said, "I will come in and my Father will come in and we will live within you and sup within you." People find that hard to believe. But that's what happened with John. John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Jesus said he's the greatest man ever born of woman. But he was not born by God. He was a man. Jesus said he was the greatest man. Jesus says that for those who believe in him, there is another level entirely, one that John never knew, that Christ can live through us and through us touch a world in darkness. Let us go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. For you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And there are things which our feeble minds cannot comprehend. We cannot pretend to know because we were not there when you did all the miraculous things that you did. We were not there when you created the heavens. We were not there when the whirlwind of the world was set in place. And yet, Father, by faith, we can know because your Holy Spirit wants to illuminate for each of us your presence in our life. And so, Father, I know that you sent your Son to die a horrible death so that we might have this moment to receive what he has done for us. He is the Savior of the world, the sinless Lamb that was slain on his birthday there and once again, that he was taken up to that hill on Passover, the day that he had been conceived, and he was slaughtered as a lamb. And we know, Father, that at that moment when he died upon the cross, that the veil of the Holy of Holies was split from the top of the bottom. 6 inches of interwoven fabric, stronger than chainmail, was ripped apart forever, taking away the barrier that was between us and you. And so, Father, we look to you now. For Jesus is the only name by which men may be saved. If anyone here needs to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, may this be the day your Holy Spirit calls them and they respond in obedience and come and receive him. Wise men still seek him. And you have promised whoever seeks shall find. And so we lay this at your hands, Father, knowing that the angels would rejoice for any who come. In Jesus' name.